Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Well, it's great to be with you again, Every Nation Taipei. What a great word last Sunday with Pastor Scott on wisdom and suffering. And today we're going to kind of follow on in that vein. We've finally reached the heart of the book of Colossians. We're in this series and we're in session number 5. It all points to Jesus. And this section of scripture that we're looking at today really is the heart of Paul's ministry. We're going to be looking at some really difficult parts, but they very much express Paul's pastoral heart. And we're going to be looking at the problem of suffering. We're going to be looking at what does it mean to be mature. We're going to look at this great mystery that's been hidden through all the ages and now being revealed. And so as we go through these, my heart's prayer is that God will speak to your heart and that we as a church would grow in wisdom and understand what it really means to have Christ's life formed in us, because this is the heart of Christianity. And so our key verses today, the passage we're looking at is Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through chapter 2, verse 5. But the verses I want to read to you are really the key verses, the heart of the book of Colossians, and that's chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Paul says this, "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we invite your Holy Spirit to really unveil and unpack for us what it means to know Christ, to have Christ formed in us, to grow up into full maturity in Christ. And so, Lord, we give you these moments. We give you, Lord God, our hearts, our minds. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. It says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church." This is one of those passages that has some really powerful truth, but it's also confusing. The problem of suffering. How is Paul saying, "I rejoice in sufferings"? That doesn't make sense to us, that Paul would rejoice in sufferings. What does he mean? And then furthermore, what does he mean when he says that I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions? Is he saying that Christ's death on the cross is not enough? Well, we know for sure that Paul believes that Christ's death on the cross is all that we need to become Christians, to buy our salvation. We also know that our sufferings can't redeem people. But so what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that in the same way that Jesus died on the cross, but said to us, we need to also take up our cross. There is a suffering that we go through that is like Christ's suffering, not in its sense of buying our redemption, but in its sense of what it does in our lives, of fulfilling God's purposes in our lives, that we need to take up our cross and suffer with Christ. And so Paul understood this suffering because Jesus, when Paul came to Christ, when he was saved, Jesus appeared to him, if you remember in Acts chapter 9. And Jesus said, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" In other words, he was saying that as Paul was persecuting the church, he was persecuting Christ. Christ himself felt the sufferings of the church. And so when we walk into suffering ourselves, Christ feels those sufferings. There's a partnership with Christ in suffering, just as there's a partnership with Christ in taking up our cross, being willing to suffer and sacrifice with Christ. And Paul was one who really understood suffering from his own life experience. This is what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, I have had countless beatings, this is in verse 23, and I've been often near death. When you start to lose count of the number of times you've been beaten, that's a lot of beatings. Verse 24, he says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. The Jews believed that if you were beaten with these lashes 40 times, you would die. So you're only allowed by law to give someone 39 lashes. Paul said this happened to him 5 times. He was beaten within one stroke of death. He says this, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, not like with marijuana or drugs or something, but stoned like with rocks. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And I'm sure Paul felt a little bit of offense because Peter, rather than being shipwrecked, he got to walk on water. Paul had to float in the ocean after being shipwrecked. But he says this, he goes on to say, I've been in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. So what is Paul saying? Paul's saying, I understand suffering. It's a part of my Christian walk. And so when Paul talks about suffering, he's speaking from experience. This is not theoretical for him. But I know it's also not theoretical for us, especially under this pandemic. There's been a lot of suffering here in Taipei, here in our church, and around the world. People are suffering under the isolation of quarantines, under loss of jobs and loss of future and loss of life. Many of us have lost loved ones or seen friends and people die because of this pandemic. Others have just been under great emotional and mental stress because of the restrictions put upon us by this pandemic. And so in the midst of this suffering, we can feel the pain that people are walking through. And the scriptures talk about a lot of different kinds of suffering that you and I walk through. And so I want to just explain some of the kinds of sufferings that the Bible talks about. The first is the suffering of being in a sin-broken world. Ever since the Garden of Eden, we have all suffered from living in a sin-broken world. God said because of Adam and Eve's sin, we're going to have frustration and fruitless toil in work sometimes. We're going to have pain in the processes of life. We're going to experience death. So we have this general suffering that all of us experience because of sin, living in a sin-broken world. We have the suffering that comes from demonic attack in our lives. In the same way that the serpent went after Adam and Eve, the serpent continues to come after us and brings suffering, demonic suffering in our lives. There's a suffering when people attack us and we suffer from things like bullying. We heard a great testimony from Gina last week about how people were bullying her, but how God turned that around. There's a suffering that comes from persecution because we're Christians and people don't like that. They attack that. There's suffering that comes that we just really don't understand. It's just mysterious suffering that comes into our lives through circumstances, things that happen to us. Why does someone get struck with a sickness like cancer? These are sometimes mysterious suffering that we don't understand. But in all our suffering, God can be glorified and the purposes of God can be advanced. I was just struck this week by a testimony I saw a few weeks ago. Pastor Ron Lewis, spiritual father to this house, he preached for us. And I can remember being in New York and being partnering with him in ministry when he went through one of the just most horrendous types of suffering. He saw his son stricken with cancer, a very aggressive form of cancer, and finally, after a mighty battle, lose his life to cancer. And I can remember watching that funeral, that memorial, and how his widow, his son Jordan's widow, got up. He was 23 years old when he passed away. He had just finally graduated from university, was loved, was ministering, and then the sickness hit him. And he fought it, and it looked like maybe he would win, and then it came back, and he rapidly deteriorated and died. And I can remember just praying with Pastor Ron and, you know, just suffering with him through those moments. But out of that, I remember his wife saying at his memorial, saying, you know, Jordan chose his victory. We will always conquer in Christ. And Jordan chose his victory to pass into the next life. But today he has conquered cancer. And he is living without pain. And you and I, no matter what suffering we face, there is always a triumph. And out of Jordan's death, Pastor Ron started Jordan Lewis Ministries, which was a reflection of the heart of Jordan Lewis. Jordan loved going to minister. And one of the things that he did was he went to an unreached people group in Tanzania, in Africa. And to this one people group, he was the first one to ever share the gospel with them. And the person, one of the men that he was able to share the gospel with, came to Christ and was the first of many who came to Christ in that unreached people's group. And today there's a church there because of what Jordan did, because of what he pioneered. And so Pastor Ron started a ministry based on the heart of Jordan Lewis. And so we call it Jordan Lewis Ministries. And it has a goal of reaching unreached people groups. And let me just tell you what's happened in the 7 years since JLM, Jordan Lewis Ministries, began. They've worked with nearly 40 unengaged, unreached people groups across 25 nations. And 25 unreached people groups have been removed from the list of unreached people groups due to the breakthrough of the gospel amongst them. That's amazing that groups of people, communities, cultures that had never heard the gospel had now been reached with the gospel. There's a church there, an ongoing work. More than 6,000 underground churches have been started amongst unreached people groups. Over 50,000 salvations have been recorded through the work of Jordan Lewis Ministries. More than 400 people have been rescued from persecution and imminent harm in countries that are closed to the gospel. What an amazing legacy that came out of what would other people would say, the loss of a son to cancer. What a horrible suffering, what a tragedy. And yet out of that tragedy, God birthed something amazing and so much of life, so much advancement of the kingdom. And see, God wants to advance the kingdom through your suffering in these times. So how does that take place? Well, here's some questions. I know for me, whenever suffering comes my way, I ask, God, why? Why is this suffering happening? And that's fine. That's a good question to ask God, to say, God, why? But we need to go past just the why questions, because sometimes God answers and sometimes he doesn't. There's going to be some sufferings that are just a mystery. We may never know in this life why certain suffering came into our life. But we need to move beyond just the why question and ask ourselves, what can I learn through this suffering? What can I learn about Jesus through this suffering? The how question, how can I be more like Jesus through this suffering? And the who question, who can I help through my suffering? So get beyond the why, get to the what can I learn about Jesus, get to the how can I be more like Jesus? And the who can I help through my suffering? The second thing that Paul goes into after addressing now the problem of suffering, he jumps on to this great mystery in verse 26 and 27. This mystery that Paul is talking about, he says, this is the secret sauce. This is the power of my ministry. This is what Christianity is all about. This is the great secret, the life hack. Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. I'm going to read it from the Message translation because I think it really clarifies what Paul is talking about and says it in such a powerful way. Colossians 1, verses 26 and 27. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. This is the secret sauce. This is the thing that changes everything. Paul said, it's been hidden since the ages. For ages and centuries, this mystery has been hidden. And now it's being revealed. Paul said, I have the awesome privilege of being able to unpack this mystery to you. That what it's all about is not religious knowledge. It's not all about living, not a successful life philosophy. It's not all about just keeping the religious rules, but it's about having the life of Christ inside of you, living in a relationship with the God of the universe. That's an amazing thing. And this is the secret. This is the mystery that Paul is talking about. He goes on to say, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, Him, Jesus Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So he's saying, this mystery, this thing that I'm proclaiming, it's something that we all need to proclaim, that we all need to teach everyone. In other words, you and I, we're called to the same ministry that Paul was called to. This is a part of what we're all doing. And what is the purpose? What is the goal of it? To present everyone mature in Christ. Maturity in Christ is the goal of the Christian life. It's the goal of our ministry. It's the goal of discipleship. It's the goal of what we do as a church. This is what we are doing. Our goal is to present everyone mature in Christ. If you're a believer, this needs to be your goal. This is the ministry that you are involved in. This is what we call discipleship. And it's what we, as Every Nation Taipei, it's what we do. We make disciples. We work to bring people to maturity in Christ. And so what does that mean? I think we live in a generation that has lost track of what it means to mature. And all social scientists are saying that we are taking longer and longer to mature. And that many people are never grabbing a hold of maturity. That it's a lost art. There's a great book called The Coddling of the American Mind that just talks about how in this generation, people are failing to reach maturity. Failure to launch. We have books like that book, Adulting, that's all about people are like they're playing at being adults and not really maturing. They don't understand what it means to mature. So what does it mean? When Paul talks about maturity in Christ, what is he talking about? Well, I can tell you what he's not talking about. He's not talking about getting this head knowledge about God. He's not talking about being more religious than other people. He's not talking about having deeper understanding of mysteries than other people. He's not talking about keeping the rules better than anybody else or achieving more than anybody else. When Paul talks about maturity in Christ, he's not saying you're more disciplined or more zealous than someone else. Paul says, when I'm talking about maturity in Christ, I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus and how that is influencing you. In another place, he talks about maturity as being Christ being formed in you. In other words, do you see the world the way Christ sees the world? Do you act like Jesus? When people watch your life, do you look like Jesus? Do you behave like Jesus? Are we becoming more and more like Jesus? Do you think like Jesus? This is what maturity is. And it's Christ in you, Jesus in you, that is the hope of glory. So how do we get there? Well, Paul says this in verse 29. He says, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that's God's energy, that God powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. What is Paul saying? It is hard work. Bringing people to maturity, this work of discipleship, this ministry that we have all been called to, it is hard work. And you might think, well, that's the pastor's work. No, Paul says that every single one of us have a part. We're all called to be participators. This is not the Olympics where we watch a few of the greatest athletes participate and the rest of us just watch and spectators. No, this is a thing where we all are involved. We all have a part. We are all called to make disciples. We are all called to minister to others. We are all called to help others come to maturity. It's a we thing. He also says that not only is this ministry of discipleship, of helping people to maturity, not only is it hard work, but it's also a process. In Colossians 2, verses 2 through 3, he says this, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding, that the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom we are hidden, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So what is he saying? He's saying ministry is all about having a knowledge and a wisdom about Jesus. If you really want to grow in knowledge, if you really want to understand the truth, if you want to know what Christianity is all about, it's all in Jesus. If you get to know Jesus, you'll get to know everything else. And he says there's three things that help that to happen. And these are the three things I really want to draw your attention today, because these are the three things that make up discipleship, that make up ministry, that make up the Christian life that we've all been called to. He says, number one, my goal is that their hearts may be encouraged. So this is a question we have to always ask ourselves. Am I encouraging people's hearts in the way that I build relationships as a Christian? The effect of my involvement in other people's lives should be that they're encouraged. Any ministry that we do, whether it's small groups or ushering and greeting or just calling someone to encourage them, it should end up with their hearts being encouraged. This is what the Bible calls grace. When we fellowship with each other in grace, when our lives are full of grace, it is what we call unmerited favor. In other words, no matter what the other person has done, they should feel like we love them, that we're for them. They should be encouraged by being in relationship with us. As a church, every ministry should reflect this. Every ministry should be encouraging people's hearts. This is what Paul says. This is how we bring people to maturity in Christ. We work hard to see people's hearts encouraged. The second thing that we do is we look to people being knit together in love. All of our ministries, all of our relationships should lead people to being knit together in love, building community together. You cannot reach maturity without, number one, learning to be encouraging, and number two, being knit together in love. It requires relationship. Being mature in Christ and bringing other people to maturity in Christ is not about just head knowledge and being able to know more than somebody else. It's not about being more perfect than somebody else, more religious than someone else. It's about, number one, being able to encourage people, and number two, being in love relationships, knit together. That means we're connected, we're tied together. Who are you tied together with? Who does God want you to tie together, either by connecting people or connecting with them and using those relationships to minister love? And the third thing he says is the knowledge of Christ, having Christ formed in us. In other words, growing in our relationship with Christ and helping others grow in their relationship with Christ until we start to think like Christ, until we start to see the world and see others like Christ does, until we begin to act like Christ would act. See, when Jesus walked this earth, he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I say what I hear the Father saying. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And what God's goal for us is to be able to say that when you've seen me, if you've been touched by my life, you've been touched by the life of Jesus. If you watch the way that I live, it's how Christ would have lived. And so these three things really sum up what discipleship is and what we really want to see mark us as Every Nation Taipei. I love the way Colossians 2:2, the way that the New Living Translation says it. It says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. In other words, when we get Jesus, we get the full understanding. Some people, they want to impress you with the depth of their knowledge and how much they know about these complex truths. And Paul is saying it's actually the opposite. It's the simplicity of getting to know Christ. As you get to know Jesus, as your relationship with Jesus grows, your understanding of everything else will grow. All knowledge and wisdom is wrapped up in the simplicity of knowing Christ. So as a church, these are the three things that we want to mark our ministry. Number one, that people's hearts are encouraged. Number two, that we are knit together in love. And number three, that we get to know Christ and help others to know Christ. We grow in that relationship with Christ. That's discipleship. This is who we are as Every Nation Taipei. Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. For whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, my maturity is not about my accomplishments. My boast, my ministry is not about what I can accomplish, but it's all about Jesus. Verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. No matter what I've gained or attained, no matter what I've accomplished, he said, all of it, I count like a loss when it's compared to the beauty and the power and the worth, the value of knowing Jesus. And he goes on to say, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. It's all about knowing Jesus. That's my deep prayer for you today, that you would know Jesus. In fact, before I finish the rest of this message, I want to say a quick prayer for us. If you would bow your heads with me. Father, I pray for each one today that is within the sound of my voice, that's watching this online. God, my deep prayer, my deep desire for them is that they would know Christ, that they would, what would be birthed in them today would be a deep desire to know you and to, Lord God, make you known to others. That, Father, that would motivate everything we do as a church, every ministry that we get involved in. We would be motivated by a desire to know you and to help others know you. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit who was given to reveal Christ, who was given to us to remind us of who Jesus is and to teach us how Jesus lived and how he would live through us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A last couple of things. Paul says this in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. What is Paul saying here? He's saying the reason why I'm teaching you about this mystery, about the supremacy of knowing Christ, how that is the most important thing, is so that nobody will lead you astray through what he calls plausible arguments. What does that mean? He means nobody can lead you astray through all these things that sound good. They sound right. All these truths and things that sound like they make sense, but don't lead us to Christ. If it doesn't help people's hearts to be encouraged, if it doesn't help them to be knit together in love with others, if it doesn't help them grow in their relationship with Christ, he's saying that those are empty arguments, empty discussions about all these complex truths and mysteries. Paul says, no, we're not trying to develop more mysteries, understanding more complex mysteries and deeper knowledge. We're trying to make things simpler. It's all about just knowing Christ. Don't let anybody lead you astray through saying, oh, I have a deeper knowledge. I know some secret knowledge that you have to have. And we're going to address this more in the coming weeks, but Paul is saying, I'm saying this so that you'll be protected. The second thing he's saying in verse 5, he says, for though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. What is Paul saying? He's saying that even when we are geographically distanced, even though like today we're separated, he's saying, yet through the Spirit, we can be encouraged. I'm encouraged and I'm encouraging you. We can still minister to each other fruitfully and powerfully, even though we're not personally gathering together. Now I'm excited because we're believing God that in the next weeks and hopefully a few weeks, you know, we may be able to start gathering together. But in the meantime, until we can safely come together, we can still powerfully minister to each other. And that's what Paul is saying. Thank God that we don't just have to write letters and send them by someone on a donkey. We can have immediate contact and communication with one another through the power of technology. And I want to encourage us, let's use technology to encourage each other's hearts, to be knit together in love, and to help each other know Christ. Don't get put off by the problems and the challenges that face us. Rather, let's look for the opportunities that are made available to us. I was recently, this past year, we're in a ministry training, what we call a boot camp, just a time to get together and to learn from each other. And this one statement was made about Billy Graham, who's maybe the greatest evangelist of all time. And he said, if Billy Graham were going to start ministry today, I believe he would go to YouTube, not to stadiums. Why? Because in stadiums, you might be able to reach 50,000, maybe 100,000. YouTube, one YouTube video can reach literally millions. And I want to tell you, there's a power that's available to us through technology. And I want your heart to be so motivated to know Christ and share Christ that we would use every means available to us to make Jesus known, to encourage someone's heart. Think of someone that you can encourage today. Give them a call. Get on a Zoom call with them. Think of someone today that you want to, you can grow together and in community, hearts knit together in love, maybe two or three people, and bring them together and let that community grow. And last of all, think of how can I help other people know Christ better? How can I be a better reflection of Jesus? What can I do to have Christ formed in me and portray Christ to others? I want to just close this message in prayer if you would join with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Jesus Christ who died for us that we could know Him. My prayer today, Lord God, is that this mystery, which has been hidden for the ages, Lord, for so many generations, we thought that only the very few who were well-educated in theology and knew the Bible could really attain to favor with you. And now, Lord God, you said, no, it's available to everybody. It doesn't matter how much education we have or how long we've walked with you. All of us can know Christ. Why? Because Jesus, you've come to live inside of us and to declare your glory through us. That each and every one of us is like a walking temple that holds the presence of God. Father, I pray that Christ would become very real in each and every one of us today, that a hunger for more of Him would be planted deep in our hearts, that we would become a people who live to encourage the hearts of others that live to love others and to love others the way that you love them. And that, Lord God, know you in a way that's infectious, that causes others to hunger and thirst after you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as always, I have a few questions here that you can use for reflection or discussion. And the first is, what role does suffering play in God's plan for our lives? And number two, how did Paul define maturity? Number three, what can you do to grow in maturity? And number four, what can you do to help others be encouraged, be knit together in love, or become more like Christ? Well, I hope that today's message will help you. Those of you who are feeling like you're under suffering, walking through difficult times, that hopefully through today's message, you'd understand the role that suffering plays in our lives. And that today you would have a better grasp on what it means to mature in Christ and to grow to maturity. And also today that we would grab a hold of the three simple principles of discipleship to encourage the hearts of others, to see our hearts be knit together in love, and to see Christ be formed in us. The Lord bless you. It's been great being with you. Every Nation Taipei, we love you. We look forward to being together with you again next week. But in the meantime, let's connect together. Let's share the love of God with each other. The Lord bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.